There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone, or are you, without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment to clear your thoughts and mind. Open your heart and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here for just this purpose: to enlighten, empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Hockaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show.
Good evening, everybody. It's another Tuesday night here in the ranch. Today's date is the 25th of March, 2014, and it is just about 1 minute and 44 seconds after the hour of 8 o'clock Central Daylight Savings Time here in the central part of the United States of America on this ranch in the barn. What better place to talk about grace than on a ranch in a barn? Also, tonight is our 100th show. I don't know about you folks, but it seems amazing to me that we've been doing this now for 100 Tuesday nights. Now, that's actually, we've done the show much longer than that. It's just that we've been doing the show out of the barn here at the home place for 100 Tuesdays. And want to thank everyone who's been along for those and more shows, and also to welcome all the new listeners. Okay, let's get down to the business of talking about you. That's right, you. There used to be a time when you never knew how it was going to turn out. If you're over the age of 35, certainly over 40, you can definitely remember where there were kids that didn't make it to the next grade. It would be June, and everybody would get their report cards, and summer vacation would be starting, and everybody was out for the end of the year, and there was whispers and rumors, and there was always at least a few kids in your grade that weren't going to go to the next grade. They had failed. Either they didn't do the work, or they just weren't smart enough, or whatever the reason, it really didn't matter, but they did not make it. They had failed. Also, many of you remember that people would try out for a cheerleader. Girls would practice and practice and practice. And they had tryouts. And they only had room for a very few girls to be cheerleaders. But yet they would show up in droves. But only a few made it every year. You failed. It was the same for sports. You could try out for football or baseball or basketball or the wrestling team or even the swim team and the tennis team, but there was no guarantee that you would make the team. And not only that, but if you made the team, you might not get to play very much. You might just sit on the bench until the score was so lopsided that they would let you play, or in case someone got tired and they needed a break, or perhaps there was an injury, then somebody would play. Not everybody got a raise, but now they call that preferential treatment. It's unfair. Everybody gets a ribbon, everybody gets to play, everybody gets a trophy, And no matter what, there has to be some type of special after-school program or some alternative school so everyone graduates on time. It's okay if the marriage fails. You can get a divorce, and there's many fish in the sea. There's nothing wrong with being married for a second, third, or fourth time. If you do something wrong, you probably will get probation or pay a fine. If you get a traffic ticket, you can go to traffic school, and the ticket will be expunged from your record. If you can't pay your bills and you've overspent on credit cards, it's no big deal. You can just file bankruptcy and start over. There always seems to be an excuse. There's nothing that's absolute. There's always a second chance. There's always more reasons to fail or to not to try than there is to succeed. It doesn't make much sense to train to climb a mountain and then not go all the way to the top, does it not? It's hard to find grace. It's hard to be healed. It's hard to have a prayer answered when there is so much middle ground, gray area, compromise, acceptance, rationalization. And then after a while, it becomes reality. Generation after generation distorts it more and more and more. So after three or four generations and 100 years, it isn't even Christianity. They're not churches anymore. They're just religious buildings that are about making money and keeping you coming back for more. But there is no more. It's just a perpetual dog chasing its tail. It's hard to realize that. But if you look at Scripture and it talks about you will do greater works than me, my love and glory are endless and boundless. That means one thing, that you should excel, not slow down. You shouldn't take a break. You should continue forward progress. And that there's always more. And if there's a heaven and there's a hell, then that means there's no gray area. Because some will make it and some will not. And on tonight's 100th show, we've got a lot to talk about, Jim.
We do.
And we also have a guest, someone that I met. Didn't I meet him, or did I just...
No, you met him.
That's not the guy that... I didn't like Western Union him bail money, did I?
No, okay. No, you didn't run him over with a truck or anything. No.
So, courtesy of Skype, the new sound, the new production board, the new computer, which is courtesy of Dave and Barb out of Minnesota, thanks to them.
Right.
Tell everybody who our guest is tonight.
Steve Morgan is a worship leader and associate youth pastor in High Point, Florida, and he's just really latched on to what we've been doing here, and I've known Steve for a while, seeing that he was a Rhema grad, and when I was doing prayer and healing school years ago, and that was between 1994 and 2004, he had come through that schooling and through that time, and so anyhow, it was really good to have met him, and I'm glad to be reacquainted with him, and the acceleration, you could say, or his progress spiritually is just wonderful. And so we wanted to have him on the show. So,
Steve, how you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. Honored to be on the show tonight.
Well, Steve, when was it that you and I met. Were you in prayer and healing school during that time?
Yeah, I was there the last 2 years, your last 2 years, 03 and 04.
Okay, well, those were the last 2 years that I was there then.
Yep.
All right, what did you think about, because, I mean, we've really just, the message has really just really progressed since then, but during that time while you were at school, how did you like the things that were being shared at the time in prayer and healing school?
Well, I loved them. In fact, I always told my wife that was the reason that God had us come out there to Rhema, was to get into prayer and healing school, and it's proved to be true. I mean, it was what we talked about in prayer and healing school was kind of the precursor to me of what we're getting a hold of now and beginning to experience and enjoy right now in the message and the lifestyle that we're cultivating.
Yeah,
exactly.
Good. And can you see how that the things that we had back then, they weren't necessarily as far as advanced as we've become, but can you see how that they were a beginning point?
Absolutely. They were the thing that birthed the desire to have more, that allowed me to see the things that we're seeing now.
Yeah, I mean, I even remember 3 years ago, because it's wild that it's been 3 years. In fact, actually, almost 3 years to maybe the day or the week, BJ, that you and I met. You came to the second meeting, and I started that meeting of those 9 weeks on March 14th, 3 years ago.
That's right.
So you came the 21st.
And so it's been three years.
And like 4 days or so.
Seems like 30.
Yeah, really?
It seems like hard labor prison sentence.
Oh, gosh.
You know, where you got the leggings on, you're busting rocks every day, and you're in striped pajamas, and you get nothing but stale bread and beans.
I guess, but I mean, I actually thought our hundred shows has gone by really well. But, you know, I remember right after you, BJ, had gone home for the first time, really experienced God, experienced the guys, you and I then began to talk. Well, we'd already been talking, you know, all through the whole course, because BJ was one of the only ones that actually took the course and
took it seriously,
meticulously figured it out.
Yes.
I didn't have many people that would do that. Now, this has been one of my pet peeves forever, okay? I've been in the ministry, 26 years or so? And this has been one of my pet peeves, and that is I rarely find anyone, even ministers, that have individual thoughts. BJ, doesn't that sound about accurate?
Well, yeah. Remember that when I really started to figure it out.
Well, by the third week, you told me I figured it out.
And look what, remember how those, you know, there was like five or six women, you know, that wanted me to sit with them.
I remember.
Remember?
Yeah.
I mean, no, they were not.
Well, it's because
you were
a cowboy, you know, you were an anomaly. I mean, they wanted to be around you, you know.
So there's like these five or six women that would sit right up front, center stage.
Gosh. Yeah.
And remember, they'd always save two seats for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I would, you know, I'd tell them, you know, now, you know, I need two seats. And they'd say, why? And I'd say, well, one for me, one for my hat. You know, and they'd say, well, we want to sit next to you. And I'd say, no, my hat's more important than you sitting next to me. And they didn't understand that.
Right.
Okay, well, as the more serious and to realize, the more I accepted grace and the more I realized, okay, there's something to this. And this guy, you know, he's not, you know, full of stuff. What did I do? I moved to the back.
You separated yourself from him.
I separated myself, and I moved all the way to the very back of the room.
Mm-hmm.
And I took lots of notes, and I made lots of comments, and it really bothered them.
Yeah.
And remember, after a while, what did they do? Yeah. They moved back there.
Yeah, you had it out with them, and you let them know, I can't sit with you.
Yeah, I said, I don't want to sit with you. And they says, why? And I says, because I'm trying to figure this out. I'm trying to learn. Well, see, that just made it worse.
But don't you remember what you said? Because what you told me you said back then was, after you said that, then you said, and I know that you're not serious about this.
Yeah.
And I said, what do you mean? Well, I listened to what you're saying about what he's saying, and you're not getting it.
Yeah, I said, you're wrong. I said, you're not getting this at all.
Right. Mm. Well, then my point was
Yeah, that
to
didn't
say,
go over real well.
After those 9 weeks... And then BJ had then experienced God in a very, very real way. But throughout the whole 9 weeks, he was making progress towards that. But then this is what he said when we got talking together. This is, you know, I think of it. You know, he was almost mad when we first started talking, because I know what you were thinking, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, but you were thinking, okay, I just went home. I can't wait to talk to Jim so we can talk apple to apple.
Yes.
And when you started talking to me, you realized I had no apples.
No clue.
No clue. In other words, my experiences were real, but they paired in comparison, and they also were intermittent. Every once in a while versus constantly. And so this is what BJ would say to me all the time. He'd say, you've got to figure this out. And I said, well, I'm trying. And then he would say this, you know this. Yeah. You're the one that helped me to get there.
Yeah, it really frustrated me, because I thought, okay, if I wouldn't have met this guy, if I wouldn't have listened to this guy, I never would have met the guys.
Right.
I wouldn't have went home.
Right.
I wouldn't have realized how ridiculous all this is. And I wouldn't be healing all these animals and all this stuff going on.
Right.
And then I would say, what is the deal? He should have this down pat.
Right.
And
like,
I thought,
like years ahead of me.
Yes. And I thought, it's the opposite. I'm going 80 and he's going 40. And then that's when I started calling. I said, no, this isn't a church. I said, there are no churches in Tulsa. I said, they're buildings.
Yeah.
You know, and at first that really was perplexing, and I knew, and I thought, you know, it's disrespectful to him, and it's really bothering him, and I'm saying, but it doesn't mean it's not right.
Right.
You know, and at the same time, I was really conflicted, because when this really does apply to everybody.
Yeah.
When you go home, and you start spending time with the guys, the first thing that happens is, and I don't know how to put it other than just ridiculous, waste of time, stupid, illogical, just stuff, just crap, junk, that almost your entire reality really adds up to. I mean, you just start to look at things so disrespectful, and you don't take anything serious, and people will say things, and you'll just go, yeah, okay, that's, yeah. And they'll say, you act like you don't care. You don't understand. This is important. Don't you see how important this is?
Right.
And in your mind, you're going, this is so stupid.
Right, not important at all.
It's not important at all.
Yeah. Yeah, I had the same experience, and this is what I want to ask you, Steve, in just a second here. I had the same experience because it really befuddled me, if that's a word, when you came back. Remember I slapped you in the shoulder? I slapped you in the shoulder and said, wake up, because you were gone, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, in the church building.
And yeah, everybody was gone. Yeah. Everybody had left the building, and there I was. I'm still home.
Yeah, and I slapped you in the shoulder and said, wake up, because I'm thinking, you just fell asleep in my prayer meeting. I cannot believe it, you know? So I'm a little bit teed, you know, and I went ahead and smacked him and said, wake up.
Yeah, but then you realized.
Well, then all of a sudden, you came out with eyes big as saucers. Now, do you remember, I'm going to stop there. Do you remember, Steve, I'm going to get right to you in a second. Hold on. Do you remember, BJ, that when you got saved, when you asked Jesus into your heart, that was the second time you came up? Because the first time, remember this, the first time you said, I said, why'd you come here? And you said, I want to heal horses the way you heal people.
Yeah.
And I said, well, you'll get that. Keep coming.
Yeah.
And then I said, do you want to meet Jesus? And you said, No. Just want to heal horses.
Yeah,
remember
I did.
That?
Yeah, I did.
And I said, well, we'll see you next week. I didn't say anything.
Yeah.
So the next week comes, you come up to the platform, and you stretch out your hand and shake your hand again, and you said, I really, really enjoyed that again. This is really, really good. And I said, well, give me your hand. And I said, if you're going to enjoy it that much, you might as well meet the guy that's responsible, because I'm just an errand boy. I said, repeat these words after me. Jesus, come in my heart. And you did. And remember what I said? I looked at you and I said, it's going to get really spooky from here on out.
Because you said there's something about, you said, you may, this is, I don't know verbatim, but basically, and you said this to me, but you also said it to the two women that were that were with me, and you said, this is not an average, you said something like, this is a very strange handshake.
Yeah.
You asked me, you said, did you feel something when I shook your hand?
Yeah, this is different.
You said, yeah, this is a different handshake. I felt something.
Yeah. And then it's going to get really spooky from here on out.
Yeah, you did.
So.
And they said, oh. You've made a connection. And then, when we sat down, they go, oh, they said, this is glory. You've made a connection. And I looked at them and I said, I'm not gay. And they just went, oh, they go, I did. I said, you don't know that part of the story.
No, I don't. I never heard that.
No, when they sat down, they were whispering and they said, oh, Mr. Huckaday, he made a connection with BJ. I mean, Grace, they're saying all this stuff, right? And then they go, and I said, I'm not gay. I said, I'm not gay. Like, I'm so far north of gay.
Right.
And they just went, oh, you know, and they said, oh, you have to stop saying things like that.
Yeah.
You know, and
it's. Well, so then, Steve, here's the deal. What was your learning curve like when you first started hearing this? That's what I was saying. All that I said, I was coming back to you to say, because for me, all I knew was, and God spoke to me and said, zip your lip and listen. In other words, don't try to defend yourself. You need to listen. So what was your experience like first starting to hear this?
It was actually kind of a drastic deal as well. I basically, right before we met back up in Live Oak, you were doing a meeting there.
Right. I came down and did a meeting there, right.
Exactly. And I, for whatever reason, I knew I needed to be there. The Spirit of God was pulling me to be there. I didn't really understand why, except for, you know, I always enjoyed being with you at Prayer and Healing School.
But right
before that, I had just basically gotten down on my knees and said, God, whatever I'm doing is not working, and I'm giving you 3 months to prove to me that it does work, or I'm going to quit preaching it the way that I'm preaching it, and I'm going to do something different.
Yeah.
And anyways, that was kind of my initiation. And I was serious. I told God, I said, I'm not seeing any results like I'm preaching them. And that cannot be. Either it's not as real as it sounds, or I'm missing it. I believe that it is as real as it sounds. So I'm giving you 3 months to show me. If I can't learn it a lot better than I am now in 3 months, then it's not worth learning.
Well, then there was Jim's living room.
Yeah
exactly.
That was what happened in Jim's that's when you were face to face with me in Jim's living room.
Well, Jim sort of prepared me for you a little bit.
What do you mean he prepared you?
And but you know, it was so refreshing, even though it was some of the things you said were somewhat hard to swallow. It was so refreshing because everything that I was and everything that I am was craving to be in real connection with God. And so the learning curve was drastic because I put everything on the table that I knew. And good. So it seemed good. As though God would take one thing by one thing by one thing and just destroy that and make it a whole lot more simple.
But and, now, what's it been, over a year now, right?
It's been 2 years since that first meeting with you.
Okay, in the last 2 years, everything that you said was hard to swallow. Now, how do you feel about that same information now?
Oh, now it's
common.
My bread and butter. I mean, it's what I eat every day, basically.
Could you go back?
I can't go back. I think I texted you this last week. You know, with thinking and hearing some of the old things that I used to think and say, there's no way I could go back. Life is so much different now, and I'm actually enjoying life because I'm enjoying God's presence and enjoying results. There's no way I could ever go back. That isn't Christianity to me anymore.
See, that's a pasteurizer.
Mm-hmm.
See, you two guys are pasteurizing. Okay, so if we've got anybody listening tonight, what they need to do is listen to what you guys have said and what I've stated in my own way, that unless you have an open mind and an open heart And unless you you can't sugarcoat it. You can't say it politically correct. There's only one way to put it. Unless you are ready to throw away and discard what you know to be real, what you think is reverent, what you think religion, Christianity, what you think it's all about, unless you're willing to trash that, then the odds, the true, simple mathematical odds of having prayers answered and grace in your life is really almost unreachable.
Absolutely.
Because if it wasn't, and if it's not, why are you wasting 2 hours of your life every Tuesday night listening to Jim's show?
Yeah.
Because you feel there is something inside of you that benefits from listening to Jim's show. And it's not me. It's, it certainly can't be Jim, but it's Ranger.
Yeah, there you go.
Remember, dog spelled backwards. It's Ranger. And but the point is that there is a soul, there is a spirit that you have. And why would it not present itself obviously to you when you are getting close to what is real spiritually?
Yeah.
Why would it not do that? You know, a magnet is always the strongest when something is really close to it that it can draw in and attach to. If you take the world's strongest magnet that's as big as my hay barn and you stick it out in the middle of a field where there is nothing metallic, it really doesn't matter how powerful, how bold the retention of that magnet is, because there's nothing around it to connect to.
Yeah.
It's basically collecting dust. That is someone's spirit, your soul, that has been convoluted into organized religion and the business of religion. But yet, the smallest little piece of metal that comes close to that giant magnet is going to feel that draw.
Yeah.
That little piece of metal is going to say, I sense something. There is something that I am drawn to, and there is something that is pulling at me. That is those moments of grace in a person's life.
Very good.
It's when a bird hits the window and you think it's deader than a can of corned beef, and 10 minutes later you go, it flew off. Wow, that was lucky. That wasn't lucky. You should have said, I love seeing grace, and grace would avail itself to you.
Yeah, yeah.
People don't realize that Christ is like that big magnet.
Yeah.
And they feel that draw, and they discount it, and it's covered over in pomp and circumstance that means nothing.
Right.
That means nothing.
Well, look at with you, myself, and Steve. All of us have the same component, and yet we're all at different speeds, but we're all progressing. The component is I had to have a reality change. Steve just said 3 months and I quit, or I have a reality change.
Right.
And you said I the hardest thing I did, but what made me go the farthest was I looked at my life, turned my back on it, devalued what I had given myself to all my life so I could turn around and find Christ.
One of the things that organized religion has done that they're an expert at is eliminated the individualism that Scripture is all about. You know, if you get past all your prayers are answered, all your sins are forgiven, and there's a heaven and a hell, and you just kind of look at the reality of all the stories in Scripture, they all have one common denominator. That if you turn everybody in the Bible into an automobile, very rarely are they all going the same speed?
Right, right.
They're all going the same direction, but they're different speeds.
Yeah, very good.
Because Paul's letters were reminders for people that, hey, you were going forward.
Mm-hmm.
You were going 45 miles an hour. Now you've pulled over to the side of the road and you've parked.
Yeah.
Why have you reverted to your old way of thinking? Why are you back to your old way of life? Would you shift back into drive, hit the gas, and get forward moving again?
Yeah.
That was Paul's letters.
Yeah.
If you look at those guys that followed Jesus around, you know, his little group of buddies, one of the best examples of how someone can be so right and then choose to be so wrong is Judas. He was going a mile a minute. He was one of the elite of Jesus' buddies.
Right.
And he made a personal choice not just to pull over to the side of the road, but to literally make a U-turn and go just as fast the wrong way.
Right, sure.
And you can see this if you look at Moses and you look at all these stories of the Bible and you look at that there is examples everywhere where you should not judge your relationship. You should not judge your performance by anyone else but your own heart.
Yeah, your own conviction.
And if you look at organized religion, they just can't have that.
Right.
Because they can't sell it. Because if you keep everybody on the same page, you keep everybody doing the same thing,
mm-hmm.
then that becomes the reality.
Yeah.
Because if you allow some to fail, and if you allow some to succeed, then it becomes an individual's accountability. They have to either succeed or fail. It's on their head.
Mm-hmm.
Well, gee, I don't know. That kind of sounds like Revelations to me.
Right, right.
And this is what our world has done. I mean, either you make the team or you don't make the team.
Right.
There's heaven and there's hell. There's no such thing as a cafeteria and a mall that's in between that, well, you're not good enough for heaven, you're not good enough for hell, so you get to go to this
right.
this mall for eternity. No, it's pass or fail.
Yeah. In fact, let me ask you, Steve, you work with youth, and I know we'll get into, you know, some wonderful testimonies that you're having with the youth. But let me just throw this out based on what you just heard, because when we were talking earlier, and what BJ just actually explained was a statement that was made when you and I were talking in the barn, which was resolve has been systematically removed.
Yeah, I told you that tonight. It's
right.
been systematically removed.
And the process of what you were just talking about has something to do with that system. So here's my question, Steve. What about the youth? Now, I'm not talking about where they are now because of what you're sharing with them and what they're beginning to experience. But where they were before, what was the temperature with them before as far as their resolve, their conviction, having amazing purpose going forward, or just really existing?
I would say it was definitely more towards the merely existing temperature. You know, it's been interesting. I've been doing youth ministry for probably 12 years now, and this is probably one of the groups that has the least resolve and determination that I've ever worked with beforehand. Like I said, the tide is turning now, but it is interesting that statement that BJ made, because I've found that this generation is less and less and less. They're getting less and less
engaged, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's more to me. It's a symptom of our culture. It's a symptom of, I hate to say it, the life that I was living in front of them. You know, I've got to put some of the blame on me, because they want to see something that's real.
Yep.
They want to see something that actually does mean something, and that they can get their hands on, not just lofty ideas and thoughts that sound good but aren't very tangible.
But there's nothing wrong with saying that I have to put some of the blame on me, because that's humbling. you can't fix something until you realize it's wrong.
Right.
And one reason why you've made such giant steps, Steve, is because you're able to do that. I mean, that's not vanity. That's not ego. That's a humbling. That's repenting. Until you realize what you're doing is wrong, until you realize you're going the wrong direction, how do you know to change?
Absolutely.
That's the entire recipe of repent. And if people would, I mean, I don't know why it is, but Genesis, I mean, I can't say this enough. There is more to Genesis than what people have been led to believe. I mean, why is it first? Well, there's a really good reason for that. Look at what in later scripture, there's nothing good of the flesh, there's nothing good of the world. And what was the punishment of Adam and Eve and the serpent in Genesis? It was to give them a worldly, fleshly, prioritized life to
right.
change the reality.
Right.
God gave them the world and the frame of mind that everybody is living on the face of the planet.
Yeah. It was their independence
yes.
that they desired that did that.
And if you look at Genesis in that frame of mind, it becomes really easy to start not being distracted by so many things.
Right.
It never ceases to amaze me how people will revere the book, they'll respect and revere the guys, but yet they take the power of grace away from Christ. They'll say, I don't have time to read the Bible. I don't have time to worship. Well, what you're saying, I really like it. It sounds really good, but you don't understand. I've got a job. I've got bills. I've got commitments. Well, I just can't stay home from work and worship God because I'll lose my job. And then I look at them and I go, how stupid are you? And they go, what, what? Why are you calling me stupid? And I says, really? Okay. Is there a God? Yes, there's a God. No, you really don't believe in God. Yes, I do. And I go, well, then if you believe in God and you believe he's all powerful, if you decide to humble yourself and repent and worship and make a connection with the guys, do you really think they're going to let you lose your job and be evicted from your home and not be able to keep your family warm in the winter and cool in the summer? And frozen pizzas on the kitchen table? That doesn't make any sense.
Right, right.
It literally tells you not to worry about those things. That the only thing you need to be concerned about is your relationship and acknowledgement of God's love.
Right, yeah.
How can you say, I got to get to work? Or yeah. Remember what I told you tonight? What did I tell you about x-rays? I never told you that before. Remember what I said tonight? I said people tell me that.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. About X-rays?
Yeah, I said.
Yeah, about having. Well, there's something that.
Yeah,
they,
somebody told me the other day. They said there's a shadow on
right,
my X-ray.
Right. What do you think that is?
And I said, well,
I don't know. That could be the result of a tumor, or that could be the result of grace hanging around. What do you want? What do you want it to be?
Well, I didn't say that. I said, okay, there's a shadow on the x-ray, yes. And they got many views of it. Yeah, and I said, okay, so either it's a tumor or it's grace. You mm-hmm. choose. I don't care. It's none of my business. I could care less. But it's either a shadow of grace or it's a shadow of a tumor.
And you said that because I told you that this weekend a guy said that they found a tumor in my brain. And I said, well, it's probably just gas. Gas actually looks just like a tumor would on an x-ray. And I said, gas always seems to have a way of working its way out. So what in the world would you be worried about? So that's when you brought that in, because really and truly when you begin to dismiss the idea that these things are important, that's only when you can latch a hold of the grace of God that's there and available.
There are places all over in that book of exactly that. It's a shadow. Is it a shadow of grace or is it a shadow of a tumor? What was that guy's name? What was his name? Leo, the one that was walking with Jesus on the water. Leo?
It was actually not even close. It was Peter.
L and P aren't that far apart in the alphabet.
Well, they're pretty, well, not too far, but enough.
No. One is four letters, one is three. They're not that far apart. I was close. Leo and Peter, that's not far away. All right, well, anyways, there's some guy. Let's just make it easy. There's some guy walking with Jesus. He had a choice to make. Either he was enjoying the fellowship with Jesus, and they were enjoying the walk and the fellowship together, or he could choose to get wet and realize I shouldn't be walking on water. There you go. It's a shadow of grace. It's a shadow of a tumor. Jesus, he had nothing to eat for 40 days. And all of a sudden a guy says, wait a minute, Jesus, you haven't had anything to eat in 40 days? You should be starving. You should be really hungry. Even Jesus had a choice to make. Yes, I should be starving and dying of thirst. Right. Or I could live in grace. There you go. It's right. A shadow. Is it a tumor or is it grace? There are countless testimonies, countless examples of this. And what it boils down to is your own personal resolve. Sure. Do you look at things from the position of God, or do you look at things from the position of this world and your body?
Right.
Because frankly, nobody cares. Nobody can do anything about it because it's your personal, private perspective of things.
Right. Steve, do you remember over there in John chapter 4 where Jesus was at the Pool of Bethesda? And remember the Pool of Bethesda, just for some of the folks that are listening, there was an angel that came down periodically, and at certain times he would stir up the water, and whoever, because the pool, there were five porches and they were filled with sick people, whoever got into the water when it was bubbling or when it was stirred up was healed of whatever disease that they had. And there was a man there, and Jesus came to that man who had a disease for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him, he said to him, do you want to be made well? And Steve, remember what his response was. I don't have a man to put me in the water.
Right.
Which is, the shadow that he saw was what? It was all of the flesh and of the world. It was of his own individuality, where he had his own independence instead of what? Of God.
Yeah,
and Jesus is right there. He saw the shadow of what? Of the flesh.
Yeah, he saw the obstacle rather than the grace that was standing right in front of him.
Right in front of him. So actually, that's one of the ways, folks, that you can begin to take the scriptures and verify the things that we're saying, that people are really eat up with the shadow of this world. And most folks don't even know that a shadow could actually be grace. They just automatically assume the worst.
All right, we got some text messages here. We got Todd and Cheryl are listening in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, and they're saying congratulations on 100 shows.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. And then we just got one that says Ranger. Ranger, someone sent you a text message. And look at her. She's looking at me. I'm getting the dog look from a dog right now. She's looking at me. And then the next one that says, BJ, please give us a glimpse into your time with the guys. So appreciated. Well, everything I've said tonight, it's courtesy of the guys, because it's certainly not from me. Okay, then we got some emails. We got an email that came in 10 hours ago. It says, I'm just wondering what we should do instead of going to a building. I have heard that Satan loves it if we do not go to a building, and he can keep us isolated. I love the show and listen to it every day, feeling connected to God more and more, and do not feel the need to go to a building anymore. No, that's not true. The devil likes it. Satan, negative energy, whatever you want to call him, likes it when you go to a building because you're distracted.
Because you'll spin in circles.
You're going to chase your tail. You're only getting a fraction, a tip of the iceberg, that what's available. He loves it because it has nothing to do with him. The best way to avoid negative energy is to be grateful and live in positive energy.
Yeah, that's right.
And you don't need anybody for that other than your own personal relationship with the guys. That's like somebody telling you how you are supposed to conduct yourself and what you're supposed to do when you're with your family, with your dad. You would look at him and say, mind your own business. We have our family. We're connected. We're blood. And I know how to do that. It's natural. So is grace.
Right.
And so is Christ.
Hey, Steve, just thinking about what BJ was just saying there, what I found is as I began to really progress. Now, you and I both know, especially even from prayer and healing school, and I'm traveling in ministry, and it's not like you've never had success until you began to listen to us. You've had some successes here and there, just right. like I have. So it's not like there wasn't something good that we were doing. But what became the icebreaker was, this has to work more efficiently for me, personally, on a regular basis. And really, I want it to be all the time, every day, every minute of the day, okay? So when I began to progress, and I want to see if this is somewhat what you found too, when I, and it wasn't that I was comparing myself with other people, that's not even scriptural, but when I began to progress, hanging around people that were not progressing and still talking the lingo and, so to speak, going through some of the same motions that I had been, it really showed up where I was, and it really made me want to go as fast as I could in the direction now that we're going. Did that at all happen with you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the more you hear kind of the way you used to think and the way you used to believe and the limitations that you put on yourself, because there can be no limitations except for the ones that you put on yourself.
Right.
You know, it would just enlighten you more and more to say, I have got to make progress and get as far away from this as absolutely possible and as quick as possible. Get back on the road. If I'm going 40, I want to go 50. And if I was going 50 today, I want to be going 60 tomorrow. You know, just that type of mentality.
Good.
Absolutely.
We got to get caught up on these emails. Folks, if you want to send a text to the show, the way you send a text message, it's real easy. We love text messages. We got a big monitor bolted to the barn walls here, and the first word that you type in your text message is the word grace, and then after that, type the rest of your message, and then you send it to this 5-number high-speed internet. It's no one, there's no area code. If you want to send a text, you just, first word you type is grace, and then you send it to 69302. That's 69302. If you would like to send an email, and we love emails, you send your emails to the name of Jim's radio show, The Abiding Presence. All one word, no capital letters, no spaces, just The Abiding Presence at Gmail, the letter G, as in Grandma's Gravy, gmail.com. And we're in a part of the show where it's time for you to send text messages and to send emails about what you've heard from Jim and Steve so far tonight, about your own resolve, about your own choices and decisions you have to make. We got an email here that says, hello, Ranger Jim, BJ, happy 100th show in the barn. And hello to all the listeners from here in the warehouse in North Carolina. This is Nick, and Nick says that he was very pleased to meet Ed and Tim and their families. And Elaine, she made cookies for everybody.
She did. Yeah.
We got cookies from Elaine, so thank you, Elaine. That was a text message from Nick. And we got another one here. It says, greetings, BJ and Jim. How are you in America? Jim, heard you ask questions last week about if I like horses. Yes, I love them. I grew up in Zhongshan. It's a Chinese town. This is from Jian. I'm going to say Zhongshan near the village. Seen a lot of them as a little girl and the mountains and hills. I will give you guys a tip. Zhongshan is where I climb the China Wall, the Great Wall of China, very ancient. Hope to come to America one day to learn more about horses. BJ, I do like this guy, but BJ, I do like this guy, but he's Buddhist and I love Jesus. Do I pursue him or wait? I don't care. It's up to you. I'm not going to get involved with somebody's relationship because I don't want anybody getting involved. Well, I don't have any relationships, but if I did, I'd tell people it's none of their business. If you, I think I've always measured, I'm just going to say this from a personal level. I've never really been concerned if someone worshiped the guys or if they worshiped the devil. I just thought it was more important that somebody saw more of the world than they did themselves, that they thought that there was more out there, that they had, their mind was working and they saw something. I mean, even if they worshiped a little green man on the moon, that's better than someone that just says, I don't know, and they have nothing to offer. I mean, I think if a person has enough synapses snapping between their ears to worship something, I think that's better than someone who worships nothing at all. And so that's the only advice I got. And since I'm not married and I don't have children, I would take that with a whole bucket full of salt. We got another email here. It says, Jim and BJ, here's personal notes from the three of us thanking Jim for taking a weekend away from his beautiful family and cowboy co-host to minister us here in North Carolina. The radio show crew, Nick's family, Ed's family, and mine got four sessions with Jim. Two at the church, one at Outback, and one at Chili's. Grace and food equal fun. And this is a picture with you and who?
Is it Ed and his family or Tim and his family?
Well, Just come look at this photo. Who is that?
Oh, that's Tim and his family.
Okay, so that's Tim and his family.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, it's a nice photo.
We had a great time. I really had a really good time the whole weekend. I was up in Elm City, North Carolina, and those folks were really gracious, wonderful folks, wonderful people. I really enjoyed the pastor and his wife. They just were such good hosts, and we had a really wonderful time. Some good things happened in the services. And then I went down. It was about 4 hours away. I drove on Sunday afternoon, and I went down to I went over and down. So it was like I went west, southwest to outside of Charlotte, North Carolina, to a place called Stanley. And it was great because Tim and Ed and their families, they came to the meetings. And then Nick and his wife and little girl, they came to the meetings. And then Nick had a friend that's been listening to our show, and he brought his whole family. They had four girls and wife. And they came to the meetings, and it was, folks, I want to tell you, it was great because everybody started sharing stories and thoughts about how much what we're sharing has meant to them personally. And this is the best part of it, kind of what I said to you earlier, Steve, about how the difference between beforehand, people would say, oh, Jim, your ministry, and when you laid hands on me, it was all about me, see.
Right.
And now people are saying, thank you for preaching this because now I found God. Isn't that so much better?
It is. Hey, Steve, we got an email, and we're going to let you answer it since you're pastorizing. And it says, do apostles, prophets exist today? Question mark.
Well, okay. I believe that they do. You know, the Bible says that they exist. So, in my opinion, they exist. So God, I like the way that Jim explained it to us back in prayer and healing school, and if I'll just steal this from you, Jim, but you said, you know, that apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, pastors are basically like teachers who are specialized in a certain area, or should be, should I say, now that we're thinking right. a little more clear, should be specialized in certain areas to teach you how to go and do all of those things in your day-to-day life as being a Christian. So that's the way I see it.
We got another email here that came in 33 minutes ago. It says, hey, Ranger, Jim and BJ, if you've just logged on and you've never heard this show before, Ranger is my 8-year-old chocolate Labrador retriever. What do you want to say? What else? And? One more. Okay, thank you. you know, that's, and Jim, you're a witness. She literally just sat up and had something to say.
Uh-huh. Right.
Okay, it says, shout out to the Yokleys and Nick and Ashley from here in North Carolina. Great hanging out with you guys for the last few days. BJ Jim, congratulations to you guys for your 100th show from the barn. And here's another picture of some people.
Okay.
You know, if you send pictures, you got to tell us who's in the pictures. It's Ed and, is that Ed's wife?
Yes.
Okay, well, it's Ed and his
Ed
wife.
Ed and Lisa.
You know, people have to remember that I don't get to leave the ranch or leave the barn. And so when they send photos, they got to, it would be kind of handy if they kind of labeled things. We just got a text here. It says, that man's brain tumor was gas. Then we got another text. It says, congratulations on 100 shows. Really have enjoyed listening for the last few years. Keep up the great job. And this is, well, this is, did you just send us a text, Steve?
I don't believe so.
It says, congratulations on 100 shows. Oh, no, I guess you didn't. What's your last name?
My last name is Morgan.
Oh, sorry. Now,
is this another Steve?
Yeah, this is Stephen Braswell. It says, congratulations on 100 shows. Really have enjoyed listening for the last few years. Keep up the great job. Pasteurizer, Stephen Braswell.
Yeah,
so that's where I got
he came
up,
too. To the meetings as well, and we all went out to Chili's that night, and he's just got great testimonies as well. Pastor Stephen does.
All right, we got another one here that came in 10 minutes ago. We're catching up. This is from Nick's wife, Ashley. She wants to say hello to everybody and thank them for the nice time. And Jim, she wants to make comment about how you helped her.
Good.
And how she's feeling better, and it worked out well. And she wanted to say, hope you guys enjoy the cookies that Nick made. Nick made cookies, but they're like, they're distorted. Well, they are. There's like,
well,
it's almost like he put these cookies in a bag
and just shook them.
Either shook them or he threw them against the wall or he drove over them with his forklift. The cookies are, you know, the cookies are distorted.
I thought I saw a little bit of tread mark on them.
Yeah, but, I mean, they taste fine.
He made two batches.
They don't really look like official cookies.
One of the batches looks great. The other one looks like he ran over with the fork.
And then we got one here. Hey, here we go. It says, just saying hi. Kitchen counter couple saying hi. Ranger, good job doing 100 shows. I like it when people talk.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, so that's, you know, we haven't heard from the kitchen counter people in a while.
No, it's good to hear.
I wondered what happened. Maybe Tuesday night's bingo night. Maybe there's not,
Well, they're back on. It's nice.
Maybe G47, you know, is bingo. Okay, we got another email here. It says, hi, Jim. Hi, BJ. Love the show. Oh, love the shadow analogy.
Yeah.
Just experienced something along those lines today. Someone very close to me revealed a fear of theirs concerning the health of one of their children. After hanging up for a few minutes, I found myself pondering that possibility that they feared. But it was just like I had to flip a switch off and discontinue those possibilities in order to enter into the realm of grace. You were talking about a girl that had had some surgeries and she was throwing a tennis ball.
Right.
And I talked about how people at the beginning of the show, They're sold a bill of goods. They basically sell away their grace.
Right.
And they don't know they're doing it.
Yeah.
You know, this happens a lot when I work with kids and horses. A lot of people will have me come and work with their kids and horses because, you know, the kids don't want to listen to the parents.
Right.
You know, and the kids say that, you know, I'm cooler than their parents. Well, anybody's cooler than a kid's parents, but... And what will happen is the kid will fall off a horse, or the kid will get bit, or the kid will get their foot stepped on. And the parents will go, oh, they got bucked off. They fell off the horse. And they'll run over there and say, oh, are you hurt? Does it hurt? It's okay. You know, don't cry. Well, they're feeding gas on the fire.
Sure.
And if I get the opportunity, I says, you know what? I want you to turn and walk away. But my kid just fell off a horse. I go, trust me. And I'll start to laugh. And I'll say, you know, look at that horse. It just stopped and it's looking at you. That horse is smiling because you fell off. I says, just get up, dust yourself off and wait, and I'll come over there and I'll put you back on that horse and show that horse just how tough you are, and you could care less how many times it's going to throw you off. 99% of the time, the kid never sheds a tear.
Right, sure.
They smile, and I go, are you hurt bad? And they go, no, and I says, but you're going to have the coolest bruise. Yeah. I says, wait till you tell your friends that this right. huge bruise on your hip is because you got bucked off by a horse. How cool is that? And they go, right. oh, man, that's real cool. But yet their parents will sell them into an injury. Oh, don't walk. Let me help carry you to the house. Let's go to the doctor. Get an exam. You know, oh, man, you just fell down those stairs. Are you okay? I thought you were dead. Well, what's that person doing to you?
Sure, sure.
They're convincing you yep. that you have a problem.
Yeah, getting you to buy in.
That it should hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And so you literally sell yourself on the world and the flesh, and you discount grace.
Yeah, it's almost as though... And Steve, you're with young people a lot. You can see this too. But, you know, I can relate to this because my kids are athletic. And Chloe's doing volleyball and Drew's doing, you know, some pretty high-level gymnastics. And so it's very easy for you to get into the mindset of saying, well, you know, I mean, the dangers of that sport. And, you know, kids just end up really getting beat up, you know, when they're going to do all that kind of sport type of thing. So, right. you pretty much are going to have to just really be careful of those shoulders and be careful of those joints. And it's like you buy into the idea that because they're being active that they have to hurt or they have to be susceptible to this. Don't you see that even with youth?
I see that, yeah, absolutely. And parents are a lot of times the biggest contributors to the buying in of pain or symptoms or, well, we better go get this checked out. We better go get 9 or 10 different exams to make sure that we find something.
Yeah.
You know, even if nothing presents itself for the first 3 or 4 exams.
Right. And what you just said, don't you find that literally in their conscience, it's as though that's the only right thing to do?
Oh, absolutely. And that's... I think those are the things that you start to see so clearly when we were talking about, you know, beginning to see things differently. You see that line of thinking and how it begins to expose it in you. You see it in yourself, and you begin to see it in others. And it's one of those contributors to wanting to pick your speed up as fast
sure.
as possible.
Sure. Well, you know, when Drew a couple of years ago had an accident on the double mini trampoline mm-hmm. and really messed up her knee. Everything about that would have been an immediate run to her side, comfort her, tell her it's going to be okay, pick her up, go get the car,
right.
and take her to one of the little emergency medical centers where they can diagnose her as having some type of, you know, a tear in the... ligament in the joint, cartilage, and then go ahead with surgery. But everything in me said, I'm not doing that. I'm sorry, it's just not going to happen. And once I asked Drew the question, okay, do you want to do what normal everybody does? I said, we can go to the doctor, and they've got some real good procedures nowadays. They can give you a little cast. You can walk around, because the next day she was going to go on her missions trip. So you can walk around London on a missions trip with crutches and with a little boot on. And I said, after 6 months of recovery, then you'll start 6 weeks of recovery. You'll start about another 6 weeks of doing some exercises, of rehab, until you're able to get back out on the floor. So you're looking at about, you know, 3 months.
Yep.
Or we can do it God's way. And she looked at me and she said, I want to do it God's way. And here's my first question. Why do you think that God made such a bad product when he made you that your knee is susceptible to having a pain or being hurt? Do you really think God did such a bad job? And she looked at me and said, no, I don't think that he did. I said, then why does it have to be so that you're actually hurt? And that right there became the beginning of, within 12 hours, her being completely well, going the next day without one pain, without one little hitch, and just having a great time in London. But see, I had to come to that place. And every bit every bit of those places that I walked through with her, there were voices in my head screaming at me that you know, oh my God, what are you doing? What are you trying to prove? There were people trying to put ice under a knee that gave me all kinds of opportunities to fold. There were opportunities to think of carrying her to a car instead of making her walk. All those different things were places of contention that I had to step beyond in order to see grace have a place or freedom or liberty to do something.
Absolutely. Well, can I say something real quick along those lines?
Yeah, please. Go for it.
I had a similar situation with my son with gymnastics, and he's six, and we did a gymnastics night where he was doing all kinds of unusual things and looked like he had done something to his knee, but he fell asleep on the way home, and the next morning he woke up and literally could not move his knee at all, and he was in severe pain. And you know, for parents, I think a lot of times we have to repent of paying attention to our emotions and the emotional side that wants to reach out for our children to be absolute and see it the way that a spirit would.
Yeah, for sure.
And with him, I just, you know, I curled him up in my arms in the chair, the easy chair, Saturday morning, and I said, all right, this is what we're going to do. We're going to put our attention on God, and we're just going to love on him for a moment and just thank him for the fact that he is so big and so awesome that Christians would never have to have knee problems.
Yep.
And so we just took about 5 or 10 minutes, and he said, well, I want to go get my pillow in my bedroom so that we can watch some cartoons. I said, okay, that sounds fine. You're gonna go get it. And so I grabbed him by the hand, and he, the first 3 or 4 steps was in severe pain, and I just said, son, you can have this pain all day, and who knows how long, or we can believe that God really is bigger than your knee problem, and we can just walk normally to the bedroom, get your stuff, and get back here and enjoy a day with God watching cartoons. And it sparked in him. We just started walking normally, and in a moment's notice, his knee was completely fine, and he was running, bouncing around like a 6-year-old normally would.
Sure.
But just to go along those lines, you have to be willing to shut down all the learned behavior that we've accumulated over how many years to say, this is how you have to react concerning either yourself or your children.
Yeah, that's correct. BJ, I remember...
Do you hear that phone ringing?
Yeah, I do.
That's my cell phone, isn't it?
Is it really?
Yeah, it's outside in the barn.
Okay.
Can you hear it in the background?
Yeah I can. I was going to say this. Something I've learned here on the ranch, folks, and it's kind of sad. There's a lot of sad things about me learning things at the ranch.
There is. It's very unpleasant for you sometimes.
Because of my age, I have to look at myself and say, are you kidding me? You're just learning this now. Like, where have you been? Oh, my God. So anyhow, one of the things that I've learned, Steve, that's helped me immensely, and BJ's the one that drilled this into my head, you can never be absolute unless you remove your feeling and your emotion.
I think one of the hardest, we got a text here. It says the dialogue tonight is good and making the topic clear. And it says, hello to Ranger. I think one of the things that's the hardest thing for the ranch is that there are things that I don't get to share with you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how often do you ask me a question and what do I say?
That's not a good question.
I say that's not a good question.
Right.
Which means that it's not a dumb question. It means that is something that you have to...
Figure out.
You have to figure out on your own.
Right.
And the guys won't allow me to elaborate.
Right.
Because there's... it. And see, this is a direct contradiction to organized religion,
mm-hmm.
where they want everybody to be on the same page and do everything the same way.
Right.
Which is completely ridiculous.
Can I say something to that point, BJ?
No, I don't believe so. No. Okay. I just kidding. It's really easy to talk trash when. Where are you? Aren't you in Florida?
I'm in Florida, in St. Augustine Beach right now. Actually.
Yeah. No, well, of course you can. What would you like to say? You can say whatever you want.
Well, you know, one of the first meetings that we had, actually, this was the second time that we met and I was out at the barn. I wanted to know, my first question from you was, I said, I'm experiencing God to the point of I can sense his presence all day. You know, anytime I put my attention on him, his presence is there and very, very real. How are you experiencing God? And you basically said, none of my blessed business, but you used a different word than blessed. And but you were very clear, and I said, okay, why do you say that? And you said, why would you want to know about my relationship when you're wasting time that you could be using developing your relationship with God? And that hit home so big with me. And it goes to your point that we always are wanting to know as believers, what is this person experiencing? What is that person experiencing? Because we're measuring ourselves to that versus taking that same effort and digging into our own relationship with God and getting our own experiences that will then, instead of put us on the sideline looking at the game, put us in the game and begin to make us have progress in the game.
I've always thought that on that note, also one of the first things you said was is that when you got to the barn and you were on the ranch, you noticed there was a difference to things here, isn't there?
There certainly is.
I mean, it's today a guy was here today, or no, not here, not today. I'm sorry. The phone guy was here Friday, and he stepped out of his van, and he had a little gold cross on. And he had one of those fish bumper stickers on the back of his phone truck, you know. And I thought, right. Okay, here we go. You know, this ain't going to be good. You know, and I told the guys, you know, you guys got to raid me in here, and because I have a thing about those fish bumper stickers. But anyways, you know, he stepped out of his van and he says it's not as windy here. And I says, no, not really. And he says, but we're on a hill. And I go, we are. And I says, it's kind of nice. And he says, you know, he says, it's really peaceful here. He says, I'm getting this really comfortable feeling. And then I couldn't resist. And I said, it's Jesus. You know, and I said it like that. I go, it's Jesus. And he says, well, that was kind of disrespectful. And I go, okay. And I just thought, this guy's, you know. I said, there's nothing I can do here, because I thought he's worried about being disrespectful, but yet he literally just missed the most easiest, right in his face, grace moment.
Right.
It could have been an eye opener. It could have been a game changer. It could have been that winning lottery ticket. I mean, I could say it a million different ways, but it comes down to it. At that given moment, that man could have been, he could have been flipping coins with Jesus in a heartbeat.
And you're going to have to remember where you are, because I got to insert something here so that you can answer Steve's a question here, or the thoughts that you were going to say. But folks, I want you to hear something, because some of you may look at this, and I can hear people thinking, well, that was kind of disrespectful, though. But here's the point. Notice what happened with Steve when he was out at the ranch, and BJ said, it's none of your business. That's a perfect opportunity to become what? Offended. To say, ugh, well, that's not very nice. But what did Steve do? He said, why did you say that? In other words, that's humbling. That's saying, I don't care if you say something in a manner that kind of could offend me. I'm not offended, because I want something so bad, I'm willing to take it and then continue to persevere and say, why did you say that? Because why would you spend all of your time on my relationship when you should be using that same energy and time on your own? Look at the guy as he said, well, that's Jesus. And the guy takes offense. Well, that's not very nice. If the guy really had in his heart an amazing resolve to want more of God, he would have looked at that opportunity and said, you know, I really believe it is Jesus. Because that's the difference between giving up, always being a person of failure, taking offense easy, and going down that road that doesn't lead to anything, and the difference of what? Persevering, having resolve, and having God.
You know, no matter how old a person gets, when they're truly home, I mean, the house they grew up in with their mom or dad or their aunt and uncle or their grandparents, the place that when they see the word home, they hear the word home, that's the first thought in their head, wherever that may be, that whenever someone actually physically goes there for a holiday or even a something as tragic as a wedding or funeral, they'll let their hair down. They'll relax.
Right.
Their guard is down. They're vulnerable, and they're so comfortable that when they leave that town, that home, and they go back to where they live, there's a difference.
Sure.
They change their personality. They get a little more defensive, and they realize, well, this isn't home. This is where I live now.
Right.
Okay. There's something to be compared to that with Grace and the guys. Because when you're in the presence of Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit and Grace, when you're in the presence of all four of the guys, you have that feeling of home. Your guard is down. Your defenses are down. It's every day. It's natural, it's familiar, and it's amazingly casual.
Mm-hmm.
Well, everything I just said in the last 15 seconds is the direct opposite of a structure or a building or
right.
organized religion.
Right.
It's not casual. It's not every day. It's very official. It's very structured. It's very regimented.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why structures and buildings are such a distraction. And if you and I find so many people say, well, I have to go somewhere. And I look at them and I say, okay, if you want to really go somewhere, why don't you go towards God and not go to a structure or a building? And they get perplexed. And I says, it's really just that easy. All right, we got some more emails here. We got an email that says, Jim, we missed your meetings in Statesville. Nick, Ashley, Tad, Leah, Beth, and their kids have told us a little bit about the meetings and the Grace and food meetings. Food meetings? There was food meetings?
Well, after the services, we went out to eat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, see, that's more stuff I don't get. They said you may be coming back. Are you going back to North Carolina in October?
Probably.
Okay, it says, my wife Susan and I were your lab rats when you would fill in for Bro Hagen.
Brother Hagen.
It says, quick question for both of you. Are there things in your lives where you see Grace functioning well and other places it's not? What do you do about the places for that is not, Jim?
Yeah, well, here's exactly how I'll answer that. Religion has taught me to, it has not taught me how to get all the way in. There's not been enough of an emphasis on being all the way in. In fact, even with all the years that I've preached In Him Realities, still, not until at the ranch here the last 3 years, did I see In Him Realities with such absoluteness that when you're born again and you're saved, the old life is completely gone. Now, we quote those scriptures over 2 Corinthians 5:17. Any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. But that means your attachments to the world and the way that you view the world has to change. There's a new reality in your life. And these are not the ways that we were, even if some things were said, These are not the ways that we saw other people over us actually living. So you didn't have any examples, really, of this. Brother Hagin is the closest example to that. So here's the deal. I'm still continually, now at least there's progression, I'm continually becoming more all the way in all the time. And I'm going to say it like that because most likely what BJ's is going to tell you, and I'm not going to speak for him, but what I saw from him is he got all the way in all at one time, one shot. And that's something that I didn't do because my way of life and the way I had been doing religion was not that way. You pick and choose which ways you want to get in, and then you struggle with the others. So I am learning how to become extremely absolute in all ways. BJ.
I didn't have a head start, and I'm not lucky or smarter than anybody else. I mean, I would venture to say, I mean, I'd make a hard bet. I mean, I'm not a gambling man because it's easier to save it than it is to earn it. But the point being is that I had a very distinct advantage over most people. I've never been baptized. I've never had any organized religion experience. I've spent my whole life far out in the country on large ranches working with horses and not really spending a lot of time with people. So my advantage, or in the world of horses, I would say my leg up was that I didn't have religious doctrine habits in my way.
Mm-hmm.
So my mind and my heart were open, and because there was really nothing in my way. I didn't have to go a different direction. I didn't have to stop and make a U-turn because I hadn't been anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I hadn't had no progress at all. I didn't have good progress. I didn't have bad progress. I was too busy with horses to even really have any personal relationships or friendships. And so when it came to opening up to understanding scripture and going home, you're right. It was a snap. I was there in what? Like 5 minutes.
Right. Right.
Maybe less. I was less than 5 minutes. I was just there. And I was upset. I went home with attitude. I mean, I've said this before on the show. I did. I went home.
Right. Right.
I literally said, okay, fine. If you're real, I said, if there's really a God, then you should be sitting next to me. Because if I was born with it, and this isn't just the biggest truckload of stuff that I've ever smelled or seen and had to shovel in my life, if you're real, then from what I've been listening to from Jim and what I've been reading and what he's been saying, then where are you? Because I dare you to prove me wrong. I should be there. I should be able to just be there right now. And before I could finish my thoughts, I was there.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had made Christ so real to me that I was literally saying, put up or shut up.
Mm-hmm.
Fish or cut bait. It wasn't about whether I was worthy enough or good enough or should I or had I earned it. No, it was, you're real, you're supposed to be real. Okay, so you're real. Where are you? And why am I not with you?
Okay, so everything you just said is the topic tonight. It's about resolve, which is very interesting because what we learn in what we call churches, which really are more just religious services, what we learn is not to be resolved, but to be more accommodating to failure. So we'd like to have the experience that's greater, but we accept a less experience and just call it a day.
Yeah.
Where your resolve, without having that religious background, being a part of the group, and seeing that the most experienced people and the greatest spiritual people in the building were not having it, so why would you have it? And then we preached that to have something where God is real is more of a special experience. And so then it discounts you and takes you out of the running to have your own experience. And then all of this feeds what? It feeds this gray matter of a lazy spirit that doesn't go anywhere.
All right. It says, Jim and BJ, here's a short note from my daughter Meredith and my wife Kay about the results from this last weekend.
This is Tim's family.
It says, congratulations on 100 shows. Thank you. Okay, it says, from Meredith. Is Meredith the daughter or the wife? Do you know?
She's the daughter that does horses and dogs.
Oh, really? She's into horses?
Yeah.
Okay, well, special hello to Meredith, fellow equestrian.
Right.
Okay, it says, from Meredith. Loving my first 48 hours of total freedom from a 25-year daily routine of medical and natural remedies, a.k.a. bondage. I like the a.k.a. bondage.
Yep.
That's really well put. I'm learning how to hang out with the guys more. I'm sure the dogs and horses I train will notice it as well, with a smiley face.
You need to comment about that.
I am. It says, can't wait to meet BJ and Ranger. Okay, and then the wife's name is Kay?
Yes.
Okay, she writes, I've never experienced power like I did last night. Scoliosis?
Yes.
Okay, scoliosis, arthritis, and muscle pain are gone. Learning to get out of the way and keeping a strong spiritual connection are my daily goals. Thank you so much for tirelessly giving and serving. We appreciate you so much. Okay, my comment to Meredith when it comes to dogs and horses.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and actually this can apply to other people. People all the time say, why do I spend so much time on the ranch? Why do I avoid people and why? Because it's a major distraction, it's pointless, and it doesn't mean anything. Scripture is very clear about this. There's nothing good of the world, there's nothing good of the flesh. And what people, and I'm going to go back to Genesis, people just don't get Genesis. When Adam and Eve were with Christ, there was obviously other animals.
Right.
Because the serpent could communicate with Adam and Eve.
Right.
They had conversations.
Uh-huh.
There was a level of communication of being one, which was all of Christ's creations.
Right.
This is more of Genesis that just gets blown by for, I don't know what, organ music and bits and pieces of scripture plastered on big screen TVs, whatever. Because think of it, there was such a connection, such a oneness with nature, that part of the choice that Adam and Eve made and part of the punishment was to take the wheels off of the serpent, turn it into a snake, turn it into a venomous snake that would be the injury and the disdain of man on his heel, and that man would not like that serpent. So it showed that part of the punishment in Adam and Eve was to sever their connection with nature.
Right, with the animal world.
With the animal world.
Yep.
And that this part of the animal world, which they were too, part of God's creation, was to give them a negative connotation that was lost. Right. And I'm going to use the magnets. It's like two magnets. First, they stick together and they're hard to pull apart. And with one small decision and one small effort, if you flip those magnets over, what happens?
Yeah, they just immediately go together.
Well, no, they don't want to go together.
Oh.
Have you ever done that before?
Yeah. I was picturing it the opposite way.
No, when they're one with Christ,
right,
the serpent and Adam and Eve, they were like two magnets.
Right.
They were stuck together.
Okay, I got it.
And the pull was strong.
And now they fight against each other.
But the reverse of those magnets, when they get close, what do?
Yeah.
They bounce off of each other.
Right.
They've lost the connection. That was part of the spanking from Christ. And if you look at Genesis and you look at what you can do to yourself, your relationship with dogs and cats and birds and animals is going to be profoundly better. Because number one, they don't have the agendas that people do.
Right.
There is more to the relationship of pets to livestock to birds to what people realize. I mean, that is one, and there are so many religions around the world to subscribe to the oneness with nature.
Right.
There's buckets of them.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not organized religion. And as far as Kay is concerned, I like where she talks about where they're gone.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and yeah. So
it was
good
a good
for them.
Time. Hey, I want to ask you, Steve, jump in here right now and tell a couple of the stories of some of your youth and some of the things that they're experiencing, their attitude change, their drive, their hunger for this. How are they taking this message?
Okay, yeah. There's several youth that seem to step out, you know, heads and tails above the other ones. But one of story that I really like is as I was beginning to introduce this idea, and I gave them a homework assignment of, you know, check and see how many times you are beginning to experience God's goodness and grace.
Right.
You know, and one of the teenagers, you know, he's gung-ho for anything, you know, that God's doing. And he, you know, he said he on purpose didn't pay attention for the first few days. So he, even within himself, changed the assignment a little bit, which I liked. Showed some individuality and some creativity. But he said for the first few days, he just didn't really pay attention, but if he happened to notice, he, you know, he would make a mark. And he said he right. was noticing about 11 times per day, you know, in this experiment. And then as soon as he began to try to notice, he immediately went up to about 35, 40 times a day the very next day. And it just kind of increased. And of course, it was from a Wednesday to a Wednesday. So he, you know, gave his total number, whatever that was. And so he began to really experience it. And it went from, you know, noticing help on a test to help on the way to school to getting rid of a pain. And he's had several testimonies of complete healing from back issues from playing
right.
sports and
right.
and different things like that. I could go in on that. And then we've had pretty much any teenager that tests their limits. You know, one of them said that they had a sore throat, and one of the things that we do is we make sure that we're giving current testimonies of God's goodness and grace.
Right.
What's happening to us this week to help inspire them to get a hold of something this week? Because it's all about now, not what happened, you know, 2 years ago and 3 years ago. And so, anyways, I was given a testimony of how what seemed to be a very sore throat showed up one morning, and how I just put my attention on God and it was instantly gone. The next day, we had one of our teenage girls say, you know, that thing tried to get a hold of her. It seemed like she was going to have a sore throat, and she was sitting there, you know, doing her makeup, and said, you know what? If Steve can instantly have a healing, then I can instantly have a healing. And because God doesn't care, He loves us all the same. And so He said she just put her attention on God and said, God, I thank you. It's gone right now. And she took the next big swallow, and it was instantly gone. And we have regular testimonies of teenagers experiencing that. Even in some of the adults, you know, are beginning to catch the idea.
Good, and, good.
And, you know, one particular that I really like is an older lady. You know, one thing I think that we do is we kind of put ourselves, well, I'm 30, so I can have this level of results. I'm 60, I can have this level of results. And that's nothing but world and religion and flesh type of thinking. And she's an older lady that I'm close with there at the church, and she had a bad report from from her legs and ankles and feet and had something. I don't remember what it was because I didn't really care. But she began to wear these special boots. And so I just went up to her one day and I said, "How are you doing this morning?" And she said, "Oh, I'm healed. I'm healed. You know, I thank God I'm healed." And I said, "Oh, well, that's interesting. I wouldn't think a healed woman would be wearing special boots." And she kind of said, "Well," and you know, kind of gave me an older lady response who couldn't believe I had said something to her. And I said, "I'm not trying to be rude. I just want to get you to believe what's real." And I gave her a hug and told her I loved her and went on about the day. And she came to me later that after service and made a repentance. And she said, I repent. I took that wrong. And you're absolutely right. And by the next week, she had absolutely gotten all her leg and ankle and feet strength back and absolutely was walking up and down stairs back to normal. So there's just lots of results like that from people who are willing to shed off old ways of thinking and begin to accept what's real.
The most obvious examples of people being committed and having resolve is that time in and time out, the most efficient and easiest, fastest ways that people become close to the guys and have a relationship with God and experience grace is that the younger they are, the older they are. The more confined they are and separated from the day-to-day world that we all know to be real, and the more sick they are. Because the more sick you are, the more locked up in prison you are, the farther out at sea you're floating around in a life raft, the younger you are and you don't realize that there's bills and mortgages and jobs, and the older you are where you've been there, done that, and it seems that the world has passed you by and you're in the last couple of years of your life, all those people have one common denominator. They are truly, on every single level, disconnected from what the majority of people on the earth call reality.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, when you're sick enough and you're in the hospital, after a while, nobody comes and visits you as often. The flowers and the candy stop, the phone calls become shorter and farther in intervals. The same thing happens when you're locked up in prison. The older you are, people will say, "Well, have you seen your kids?" And people will say, "Oh, you know, they have their own lives now. They're so busy. They've got kids and their kids have kids. I see them on the holidays." Well, all these things, and little kids, well, they've got school and playtime. They're all saying the same thing. We are not in the flow of the worldly flesh.
Hmm.
We're outside of it. Either we're too young to be a part of it, or we're too old, or we're too sick, or we're locked up, or we're lost at sea.
Sure.
That is the distraction. We've got a text here. It says, "I'm getting it, BJ. Asking about your relationship with the guys is like asking a couple about the intimate details of their marriage." That comes from Cheryl. We got an email here. It says, "Tonight's show is really thought-provoking. Thanks for always pushing us ahead. I'm being challenged each day with my thoughts and lifestyle, and I'm making progress." We got another email here that says, "What do we do with the scripture that says not to forsake the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another and so much more as you see the day approaching?" And it's Hebrews 10 vs. 25.
Yeah, I know what it is. And let me just say this. Well, you're not forsaking the assembly of yourselves with like-minded individuals. Well, think about what this means and put it back into reference with back when that scripture was being said. These were days where to have God meant that you literally separated yourself from everybody, which would seem to indicate that the assembly were people that were progressing and going somewhere with God.
It doesn't do any good at all to go somewhere where the message is inaccurate or the message only goes so far.
Correct.
Because after a while, it becomes useless and pointless. And if you're going to the wrong place and you're listening to the wrong thing and it's not helping you and you're not getting anywhere, then just because it's nice and it's not harmful, that doesn't mean that it's not a distraction. It's getting in the way. And if there is, and more than likely, the overwhelming majority of the time, people are going to finally come up with the answer. The reason I don't go is that there is not an accurate, appropriate, forward progress to go.
Right.
And since it's an individual relationship, what better fellowship is that? Do you want to be with a group of people somewhere singing songs that are dressed in their once a week church shoes? Or would you rather spend that hour and a half with the guys?
Right.
What is your goal? Is your goal to be a part of a member of something? Because truly, a real church is people standing around one-upping each other.
Yeah.
Well, you think that was a good prayer? Let me tell you this, Grace. You think that's grace? Let me tell you this. It's bragging rights. That is what a church is. It's testimonies.
Yeah.
It's testimonies of progress. It's testimonies of a relationship. It's testimonies of something going on and more to come.
Right.
If that doesn't describe where you worship, then you really shouldn't waste your time being there.
Now, when you made the comment, just for clarification, especially this person that wrote in, when you said, would you rather be around singing songs with people where there's inaccuracy, or would you rather be with the guys? Now, here's one of the problems, and whoever sent this in, I'm sure you'll be able to identify. In the religious buildings and worship places that people have been worshiping for a very long time, God has never been revealed to people as though he could be that real. So for the most part, God to people had to do with the religious service, being in a place with other people. That's what people think about God when they think about him. They don't think about hanging out with him, having laughter and fun and talking with him and getting information from him and actually being with a person that really trumps being with anybody else. Now, as far as a concept, people think about this, but as far as reality, people don't. So see, the moment you really allow God to become real to you, it really changes your perspective of some of the ways that you have been interpreting things all along.
One of the things, the most powerful example of God's love is not curing cancer or bringing someone back from the dead. Those are nothing. Those are pieces of cake. The real example of the power of God's love and the real glory of God is when grace finally is so involved in a person's day-to-day life on this planet that they realize that grace is protecting them from such places and people. The biggest thing that people miss about grace is not the I don't have a cold or my shoulder doesn't hurt anymore or my leg was broke but now it's not. No, that's not it. The biggest thing about grace that gets missed is that the love of a parent is to protect its child.
Mm-hmm.
And people miss the protection aspect of grace. And one of the protections of grace, once you acknowledge grace, the more time you spend with grace, is grace is going to give you a slap in the face, a bucket of cold water in the face, education about where and what is unimportant. And you begin not to care about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when someone stops gambling, they stop drinking, they stop looking at internet porn or whatever it is that gets in the way of them having a fruitful, fulfilling, progressive life with Christ, one of the things they realize is when they see those places, after a while they kind of chuckle and they think what a waste of time it is.
Sure.
And what a big joke it is.
Sure.
And how it means nothing to them.
Right.
Well, that's the education of grace.
Hmm.
showing that that has nothing to do with your spirit. It doesn't pertain to your spirit. It's not going to do your spirit any good, and it's just going to get in the way from you spending time with us. That's another aspect of grace. All right. Guess what? We are all caught up on emails. We're all caught up on text messages, and this is our 100th show. Great. You know, okay, it's 100 shows at the ranch in the barn, but how many shows is it altogether?
I don't know. How many archives do we have? About 130?
I'm looking right now. I'm on the Abiding Presence website. I'm going to the archives page. Oh, well, you know what? We only did 30 shows in town at the radio station.
Probably close.
That's all?
Probably around there.
I didn't realize it. So tonight is then 131. Because last week's show was the 18th and today's the 20th. Okay, so we've had 131 Tuesday nights.
Hmm.
Okay, my question to you.
Sure.
Out of 131 shows, what's the number one thing that sticks out in your mind?
Hmm. Okay, out of 131 shows, being a spirit and not flesh means that everything about this world is now no longer my participation with the world, but with God.
Okay. 131 Tuesday nights. Okay, so that's a little over, it's a couple of years.
Over 2 years.
It's over 2 years. Did you still think we'd be doing the show? When we started the show, we were driving to the radio station every Tuesday night.
I had no idea.
You didn't know if it was going to go somewhere or not.
No, I knew it would go somewhere. I didn't know where.
That's interesting.
And I didn't know to what degree it would be good, but I was fully game. I'm game for stuff like that.
Yeah, no, you've always been, yeah.
You know, so.
No, that's true.
I was all in. I had no problem with our arrangements at the beginning, that money was never going to be an option. And we weren't going to try to promote this.
No, we know.
We were going to let it just be the Lord and let people find it and continue to progress spiritually ourselves and let this show be a byproduct of our own relationships with God. I was completely 100% behind that. But where it went and where it would go, and now, I don't know if it, well, I know you know this, but when we turned the corner of this year, it's as though these shows seemed to even jump up another level, didn't they? Or maybe a couple before the end of the year.
Yeah, the show, I guess you would say it's ramped up or it's escalated. I think I started to notice the show gaining a little more in-depth speed around late November.
Okay. All right.
And I think if somebody went back to the archives, and let's say they went back to like the second or third week of November and they listened up to now, they could see where. And I think what it is I think that I've noticed in you that you've caught on to things.
Mm-hmm.
You're better. Starting, yeah.
Yeah, way better.
Yeah, you're starting to gain some speed.
It's making more sense.
Well, our conversations are getting more in depth.
Right. Right.
You know, I'm able to talk and discuss things with you on a little different thing.
Sometimes surprisingly say, I can't believe they're letting me say this.
I do. I you know what? About the last 5 weeks, I usually say it. Yeah, I do. I do. I say, yeah. I can't believe the guys are letting me talk like this to you.
Right.
I can't believe the guys are letting me say this. I can't believe the guys are letting me have this discussion with you. I can't believe they're allowing me to
that's
share
funny.
This.
They're allowing me to say this.
I said, yeah, I go, or I'll say, well, that's weird. I can't believe the Holy Spirit isn't reining me in, saying, you know, too much. But, where do you think the next 100 is going to go? Think there's going to be another 100 shows?
You know, here's what's happening. Steve, I don't know if you find this to be so as well, but someone asked me, even this weekend, some of the people, of course, very much easier to talk with some of the ones that have been listening to the show already, okay? So
right.
Ed's family, Tim's family, and Nick, and some of the others, and Pastor Stephen. This is what I said to them. I said, you know, it's not going to be long until I'm going to have a really hard time doing ministry out on the road. Because
yeah.
This is what I find all the time that happens. Literally, I mean, tonight. Remember whatever was said and you said, well, the guys totally gave that to me to say. Remember you said that to someone that emailed in? And
yeah,
you just,
I said, yeah.
Okay.
Right.
I try to say, hi, how is everyone? And 10 minutes later, their hair is parted, and they look like they've seen a ghost. And I have to stop and say, I'm so sorry. Is everybody doing okay?
Yeah.
Really, I really wanted to just say hi. Because it's getting so full in me and so real that it's hard not to give it in a manner that just paints the wall.
Yeah, but you have... Okay, I've told you this. You know, I've said this on the show before. Jesus was not perfect. Jesus, the only if you look at Jesus mathematically, he was only 50% successful. Maybe even less. The only people that was that Jesus was 100% effective to were the people
right.
that had an open mind and an open heart
right.
and gave themselves to Christ.
Right, right.
Because the overwhelming majority of people that knew that there was some guy with Jesus with a bunch of little buddies running around talking to people had wanted nothing to do with it. Either because
right.
they were afraid, or they didn't believe it, or they just didn't think
right.
it was
right.
valid.
Right.
That was the majority of people.
Yeah, when you think about it, you'd look at all the offense that was taken from his own hometown, and then from all the Pharisaical group that influenced the people that even put him on the cross, versus the simpleton of folks, the very easily persuadable or open-hearted people that would flock to him, and as many as touched him were made perfectly well.
It wasn't that they were persuadable. It was that they weren't real busy. All they did was they literally lived their lives of sustenance.
Mm-hmm.
If they had a roof over their head, they had some type of meal that day, then it was a good day. They didn't own property. They had no one to really care about other than their own immediate family.
Yeah.
They were what you would call low-income worker bees.
Yeah. Yeah.
They because the people who had property and slaves and money and had all kinds of things were going on, the overwhelming majority of them said what?
Yeah. Yeah, they didn't want anything to do with it. And Jesus said it's difficult to have people that are rich to get in the kingdom of God.
We just got a text that says the best of the 131 shows are the ones where people say they got it and they're gone. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
You know, I've said that before, that the greatest compliment of the show is when someone
right.
says, I like the show, but I don't need
right.
it anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
And see, that's the thing that organized religion will not abide with.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that's the one thing about if you want to know what a building or a church is tell them that you have such a great relationship with God that you don't need to give them money and you don't need to go there anymore and watch what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you look at scripture, remember the guy that couldn't see and Jesus said, you're blind? And he says, well, I can't see. And Jesus says, would you just go home?
Right, Bartimaeus.
You know, all the healings, everything that happened in Scripture, it was never about hanging out or now that you owe me or that it's going to take one more visit to fix it. It was just the opposite.
Right.
The whole goal of Jesus being on the earth was, was like Johnny Appleseed, right, to show people the love of his father, to show what the love of God could do for them. And then he wanted them not to walk. He wanted them to run to all points of the compass to show, look, you want a validation? You want to see what's real, that this really is the Son of God? I can see. I can walk. I'm right, not a leper. Right. Right. It wasn't about a collection like a trophy case.
Yeah, folks, and just so you know, as a minister, I travel and go on weekends to places all over the country and over the world. Steve, who's on the line, he's at a church where they're where he's ministering to people in song, and then also to youth on a regular basis. And so, you know, I'll say it this way. As a minister, everything about what I'm teaching is to help people make their own progress, have their own relationship. And, you know, to be honest with you, a lot of the people I know in their life, that was really their intention. They've just never gotten people to that place. Because if you'll talk to pastors who are just inundated with counseling, where you're talking to people and you're having to be there sharing something with them because they can't get it themselves from God, all of them will agree, boy, it would be so much better if we could just mature these people so that they could have a relationship with God. And so really, when you boil down a lot of the comments here tonight, it comes down to that. Your first experience, your first priority is to have an experience with God, not just go somewhere, but to have God. Thank God for being around people that love the Lord. I mean, there's nobody I'd rather hang around with than some of my good friends where you can just talk the things of God and people just have wonderful, kind hearts. I get that. But when push comes to shove and it comes to you getting your prayers answered, it needs to be about you in your own closet, you in your own home, and you on your own knees where you've made a connection with God and God has become real to you. Steve, do you think that that's what you're beginning to experience too?
Absolutely. You know, that's one of the big things that I've seen is until I have that connection and are getting things for myself from God, and this goes for anybody, but I don't really have anything that anyone else needs to hear about or is going to receive from anyway. So, and that goes for all believers. You know, we're supposed to gather together to encourage one another. Well, if we're all looking to get something when we get there versus coming with something because we've spent time in our prayer closets and throughout the day with the Father and getting all that He has, then, you know, what's the point of coming together anyway?
Right. Very good.
All right. The last email of the night is, and it's a great one. It says, great meeting last night. Wonderful show tonight. Your ministry is having a big impact on our family. Thanks, Tad, Leah Beth, and the girls. And this is from Statesville. Do you know who that is?
Yeah, I sure do. That's Nick's friend that came, and there's four girls that they have, and then, of course, his wife. So we met them last night, prayed for his wife. There's one of their girls came up, and she just had me to pray for three or four times.
Really?
I'm not done. I want more. I didn't get what I came for.
Well, see, that's
more.
A kid because, you know, they have an open mind.
Yeah.
I think that's a great email to... all right, you want to say something to music?
Yes. First of all, before we do, I guess we're going to sign out with Steve, but I just wanted to, because BJ will say a few things at the end here. But Steve, thank you for being on the show from me, and I appreciate what you're doing, and I'm glad we can stay in touch.
Absolutely.
Thanks, it was great. We'll have to have you on again sometime.
Yes,
did you?
Sir,
okay, now, did you do due diligence and have a bunch of your kids tell them you were going to be on the show tonight?
Yeah, but I let several people know that I was going to be on, and
because I'm surprised we didn't get any text messages or emails from any of the kids down there. They didn't say hey.
Well, yeah, I'm sure they probably are in bed at this point, but we'll be listening to.
Oh, that's right. It's Florida, so it's now 11 o'clock.
11 o'clock.
Oh, it's a school night, isn't it?
Yeah.
I never really subscribed to that rule. It's a school night. That meant nothing to me.
Right. Right. All right. Well, thanks very much, Steve.
All right. Good night, fellas.
Good night.
Good night, Steve. Thanks.
Well, Father, I thank you so much for being our God and for being our Lord. for giving us the Holy Ghost, and we can experience your grace all day long. I just want to tell you, for the last 100 shows that we've had, thanks for giving us this opportunity in the barn, and for the friendship that BJ and I have, and for the ability to communicate a simple, simple message that's beginning to literally resonate in my own heart and the hearts and lives of people around the world. Lord, continue to keep us open-hearted, open-minded. We'll continue to keep ourselves repentant and humble. And Lord, we're going to experience in the next 100 shows things that we've never experienced before. But all of it will just boil down to an amazing relationship personally with you. And we thank you for it. Amen.
Well, that was pretty good. That was pretty good. And you know, since this is the 100th show and it is your radio show, I think it's only fitting, Jim.
Yeah.
It's only fitting.
Oh, please.
This is your song.
I've got to sabotage that.
You paid good money for this song.
Oh, well, you know what?
Even Sherwood thinks. Are we going to get him on the show, Sherwood?
Yeah, we will.
He was traveling tonight, right?
Yeah, he was traveling.
Even Sherwood thinks this is a ridiculous song. But, you know, since it is 100 shows, you know, I thought, you know.
All right, just play it. That's all right. Make fun.
All right, folks. Now, see, this is something good to listen to.
Go on, Ranger. Come on, go on. You're going to have to talk. You want to say something?
Now there's, see, now that is 100 show sounding right there, see. You can say something to that. Don't you think?
Well, I think so. Well, my goodness, we're getting just a jam session now.
Oh, how many 100 shows are we going to have?
I know, I mean, you might as well.
You know, Dave and Barb were kind enough to, you know, pony up the money so I could get, you know, bigger, better stuff, so.
Well, maybe the only thing we'll say about money is that one song that you've got about money.
You know what? That's the song. Let me find that. That's what everybody needs to listen to. You're absolutely right. See, now I'm playing music from my horse show. All right, here it comes. You know, folks, in all seriousness, you really need to think about this song when it comes to organized religion, doctrine, and structures and buildings. Here it comes. Got a good beat.
It does.
Free, but you can give them to the birds and bees. I want the money. That's what I want. That's what I want. That's what I want. Your love gives me such a thrill, but your love won't pay my bills. I want money.
Says it all right there, doesn't it?
It does.
That's what I want. That's what I want. That's what I want.
I think that sums it up, don't you?
I do too.
Yeah, your love gives me thrills, but it won't pay my bills. Yeah, that all I want is money. You well, know, folks, that if you get anything from Jim's show, I hope it fuels your heart to create, to have imagination.
Yeah, absolutely.
To set aside the harsh reality of the flesh and of the world. You know, you hear people say there's only two things that are certain in life, death and taxes. And nice guys don't always finish first.
and there's no such thing as a guarantee in life. Never truer are those statements when it comes to the difference between heaven and hell, your flesh and the world, and your spirit and relationship with the guys.
Yeah.
We'll be here next Tuesday night for another new show, so we want you to take care of yourselves. We want to welcome all the new listeners to the show, and Ranger's all fired up because it's 100 shows. Ranger? What else? And remember, folks, take care of yourselves and your pets. And Ranger, what is dog spelled backwards?
That's good.
Good night, everybody. Good night. Thank you for joining us on our 100th show. Good job, Ranger.